In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week we heard what baptism is. It is water included in God's command and combined with God's word. This water gives us God's name. We do not regard baptism as plain water, but it is the water that God has appointed and combined with his word to give us his name. And today we look now at the benefits of baptism. In the catechism we learn that baptism works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare. These words and promises of God are found in the last chapter of Mark. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Behold here in baptism the precious gift and treasures of God. The purpose of baptism is to grant you salvation. Mere water doesn't accomplish this, but God's word does it, working through water and his word. For as we heard last week, we must regard baptism as God's work, for it is done with his words and according to his institution. It's not man's invention or man's good work for God, even though it is a man that pours the water and speaks the words. But the water is the water that God has chosen, and the words are the words that are spoken as God's words, for God has given them to us. Through baptism, God gives us his holy name, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, many think this is kind of funny, or maybe even a false righteous work that we are trying to present before God. They insist that if this is what baptism means, then that would make salvation a matter of outward works and not about faith in Christ. See, their premise is that faith is what matters. Now, that premise is true. But the conclusion they reach is wrong, that therefore baptism does not save. See, the point they're missing is a proper understanding of what faith is. See, faith must have something that it believes in. Those that consider faith as an abstract concept are going to say, well, yes, of course, that's not God working through concrete means. So how can God do that? How can God grant salvation through water and words? Isn't it the feeling in my heart? Isn't my decision for Jesus the way that I'm saved? But they don't understand what faith is. Faith must take hold of something and stand upon it. Dear Christians, our faith clings to God's word in holy baptism. God's work in holy baptism. We're not trusting in water, but in God and his word working through water. We do not separate faith from its object. You would not deny that you are saved because there was real blood that was shed on a real wooden cross that had real splinters that were digging into the real flesh of Jesus' back. And so too now, that benefit that was, that victory that was won on the cross for you is now received here through his words and through the means that he has established to give us that, to preach to us the object of our faith, the thing that we're supposed to trust in. If I was to go on and on about how I'm saved by faith and I never told you a single thing about Jesus, what am I really being saved by? Me. That's not how we're saved, dear Christians. Instead, it is saved by Christ. And he uses concrete means to bring us, to proclaim to us what he has done, and to give us his promise. We are certainly saved by grace through faith, as we confess in Ephesians 2. It is God's gift. It is not our work that saves us. Yet this faith does not exist on its own. Faith must have an object. It must have something that it trusts in. The object of our faith is God's work, God's promises, God's word. So let us hear a few of those words and promises on holy baptism. First, from Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Mark records for us these words of Christ as part of the last things that Jesus says to the disciples before his ascension. Last week we heard another of those final words as Jesus instituted baptism after his resurrection, but before his ascension. He is very concerned that the church understand that baptism is to be a continuing thing that goes on. That baptism and teaching, baptism and preaching are to continue to the end of the age. Because it is by preaching and baptism that we come to faith and therefore are saved. Do you see what Jesus says there? Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. These things go together. They're not kind of separate things where you believe and then you kind of reject baptism. They're together. And if you read Acts, you see they usually go together. People come to faith and then they are baptized. Or in the case of our children, they are baptized on the basis of their faith that we know they have because of the word, but we can't quite see it yet. We still baptize them. And then what does Mark also record here? He says, whoever does not believe will be condemned. Now notice there, Jesus doesn't say, whoever does not believe and whoever is not baptized will be condemned. And that's important because that tells us two things. One, ultimately is the faith in Christ that saves us. That's the doctrinal point. The application here is that those who have faith but are not able to be baptized yet, for example, consider a catechumen that's studying the catechism, that's come to faith in Christ, is repenting of their sins, believes in Jesus, the baptism's scheduled for a few weeks out, and they get in a car wreck. Do we think, on the basis of these words, that that person is with Christ, or are they suffering in hell? They are with Christ. They have believed. They have not yet received baptism, but it is not their fault. They are not rejecting God's gift. They are not showing their unbelief in Christ's clear words. Instead, they have not had the opportunity yet. So we know that person is with Christ. Another one of those words and promises of God on baptism is Acts 2:38. This is after Peter has preached his Pentecost sermon. He has convicted the Jews of their sin. And they've cried out, what must we do to be saved? And Peter responds, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here we see these two gifts. The forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit are included and given to us in baptism. Also notice there, be baptized. Right? If baptism was our work, it would be an active verb. Baptize. Just like, you know, go to the store and buy some groceries. Right? That's a command. But this is a be baptized. See, baptism, again, is God's work. And you see that all over the scriptures because it's always a passive. Whenever the instruction is given to someone to be baptized, it's always passive. It's never, baptize yourself, wash yourself. No, it's receive this gift. And what is this gift? It is being baptized into his name for the forgiveness of your sins. For the forgiveness of your sins. Baptism gives us this forgiveness because it gives us Christ. It unites us with his death and his resurrection, as we hear in Romans 6, which we'll get to later in the catechism. And finally, our final verse for this morning is 1 Peter 3:21. Peter writes, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter says, baptism now saves you. To anyone who would deny that baptism works salvation in you, go to this verse. And if someone says, the Bible never says baptism saves you, say, well, okay, it says now saves you, but behold the beautiful promise there. that God works through this water to give you a good conscience. Not through your work. What does Peter say? Through the resurrection of Christ Jesus. That just as Christ has died and been raised, so you too, in that font, died and were raised. Not because of your work. Not because there was water in there that washed some dirt off you and there was some symbolism there. But because God worked through His Word. So dear Christians, let us today not doubt Christ's words and promises, but give thanks for His marvelous work of salvation, which He has given to us in this means. To Him alone be the glory, now and forever. Amen.